Did you know that splurging on, say, a $10,000 Gucci bag might also mean you're kind of unknowingly broadcasting your spending habits
Yeah, and not just that, your address, even your phone number.
directly to cybercriminals? It's pretty chilling, isn't it?
It is.
And that's the reality behind this recent, really massive data breach affecting the French luxury giant Kering. We're talking brands like Gucci, Balenciaga, Alexander McQueen.
Big names.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into this incident. We want to unpack the sheer scale of it, what information was actually stolen.
And the tactics the criminals used, they were quite sophisticated.
Right. And most importantly, what does this all mean for you, the customer, and how can you protect yourself? Because this digital world keeps getting trickier.
Well, what's really impactful here is not just the audacity, like you said, but the scale. We're looking at approximately 7.4 million customers' personal data exposed.
7.4 million. Wow.
Yeah. And to put that in perspective, this isn't just another breach hitting the news cycle. It's genuinely one of the most significant in luxury retail history.
That's huge.
It really underscores that, no industry, doesn't matter how exclusive or seemingly secure, is truly immune to these kinds of sophisticated digital threats anymore.
That number alone certainly makes you sit up. So, okay, how did this actually unfold? Let's get into the timeline.
Right.
The cyber attack itself apparently happened back in April of this year, 2024. But here's a critical detail. It wasn't actually discovered until June.
That delay.
That delay in detection, yeah. It's a stark reminder of how insidious, how patient these attackers can be.
Definitely sneaky.
And the group behind it, a name that's become pretty notorious in cybersecurity circles, Shiny Hunters.
Shiny hunters, yeah.
They're described as this relentless hacking collective known for aggressively targeting major corporations, often for ransom, kind of like a digital heist crew, really.
Yeah, they have a track record. And building on that, Kering's official statement, well, it indicated unauthorized access through compromised internal credentials. Standard enough.
Okay, so stolen logins, basically.
Pretty much. But security experts are theorizing it most likely started with a highly sophisticated phishing campaign.
Phishing, right. Always phishing.
Exactly. But this wasn't random. It seems it specifically targeted the company's Salesforce single sign-on portals, SSO,
Yeah, the system that lets employees log into lots of things with one password.
Precisely. So if those master keys get compromised, well, it becomes a powerful single point of failure for the whole system.
Ouch.
This shows the evolving sophistication of these criminals. They're really adept at finding that weakest link, often through tricking people, social engineering.
A sophisticated phishing campaign targeting their single sign-on. Yeah, that's a classic move. But like you said, when it lands, it can be absolutely devastating. So, okay, they got access. What exactly did Shiny Hunters manage to steal? I'm guessing it went way beyond just basic contact info.
Oh, you're right. It was quite the treasure trove of personally identifiable information, PII, as they call it.
Like what specifically?
Full names, email addresses, telephone numbers, and complete shipping and billing addresses.
Okay, that's already a lot, enough to build a detailed picture of someone.
It is. But here's where it gets, well, truly concerning, I think. Beyond those standard personal details, the breach also included individual spending history and total purchase amounts.
Wait, spending history? That's a level of detail I hadn't really considered. So they weren't just guessing who might have money.
No, they knew.
They knew exactly who to target.
Precisely. We've actually seen samples of this leaked data, and it showed affected customers with spending profiles ranging anywhere from, say, $10,000 up to a staggering $86,000 per individual.
86,000. Wow.
Yeah. So this isn't just identity theft in the way we usually think about it. This transforms the stolen data into, well, a potential goldmine for cybercriminals looking for high-value targets.
Because they know exactly who has the disposable income.
Exactly. It makes future fraud attempts incredibly tailored, very specific, and much more dangerous. You can imagine the kind of precise targeting they can do for future scams now.
That is a chilling detail. Knowing your spending habits, which is often a pretty private thing, are now just out there. But okay, amidst all this difficult news, there is a bit of a silver lining, right?
Yes, there is, thankfully.
Kering confirmed that the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, that's PCI DSS regulated information, was not compromised.
Correct, which is crucial.
So that means your actual credit card numbers, your bank account details, other direct financial payment data, that stuff remains secure.
That's right. So while a lot of very personal info and those spending habits were exposed, your immediate financial accounts, at least in terms of card numbers being stolen directly from Kering, were not impacted by this specific breach.
Okay, that's definitely some relief. But still, that spending data, like you said, it fundamentally changes the game. Which brings us back to the masterminds. Shiny hunters. We mentioned they're notorious, but what else sort of defines their approach here?
Well, a crucial element seems to be their motivation, right? Money. According to reporting from the BBC, shiny hunters actually tried to negotiate a ransom payment with Kering.
Ah, okay. So they weren't just stealing data to sell. They tried to extort Kering directly.
It appears so. They apparently initiated these negotiations back in June, pretty soon after Kering's security team found the breach. They were demanding payment in Bitcoin using encrypted Telegram messages.
Standard crypto ransom stuff. And Kering's response?
Kering firmly denied engaging in any ransom negotiations at all. They said they followed law enforcement guidance and expert advice, which, you know, consistently recommends not paying ransoms.
Right, because it just encourages them. And you might not even get the data back or deleted.
Exactly. Okay. It often just funds more criminal activity.
Absolutely. It's a tough strategic decision for any company in that spot. But, okay, beyond trying to extort money, the methods shiny hunters used, they weren't just about finding a weak password, were they? Security analysis, I think tracked by Google's threat analysis group, UNC 6040, it revealed some really sophisticated techniques.
That's right. Very advanced.
So what does using something like API token abuse or oath manipulation tell us specifically about how these criminals see and exploit the high-tech infrastructure of a modern luxury brand?
That's an excellent question. It tells us these aren't just opportunists guessing passwords. They're almost like digital architects of crime.
Okay.
So, for instance, they used what's called social engineering excellence, basically crafting incredibly convincing phishing emails to trick employees into giving up their credentials.
That's just, they understand human psychology just as much as the tech.
Right, playing on trust. Exactly. Then, their third-party integration exploitation. That points to a really deep understanding of how these big enterprise CRM systems, like Salesforce, are all connected together. They didn't just breach Kering itself. They breach the connections Kering uses with other services.
Ah, so attacking the links in the chain.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And think of an API token, like a digital key, right? Gives specific access to certain things. Shiny hunters apparently stole these keys to sneak back into Kering systems repeatedly and grab massive amounts of data, all without setting off the obvious alarms.
So quiet, persistent access.
Mm-hmm. And OAuth scope manipulation. It's kind of like tricking a bouncer into believing their access badge lets them into every single VIP room, not just the one they were originally cleared for.
So they expand their access once they're inside.
Exactly. They expand their control way beyond their initial entry point. These aren't just technical buzzwords. They really signify a targeted, persistent, and highly intelligent operation that leverages multiple vulnerabilities at once.
It sounds incredibly sophisticated, really layers upon layers. And it makes me wonder, okay, how did Kering then respond to all of this within the regulatory framework, GDPR and all that?
Right. Well, on that front, Kering's response seems to have largely followed the European Union data protection protocols under GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation.
The big EU privacy law.
That's the one. Very strict. They did promptly notify the relevant data protection authorities, apparently within that mandated 72-hour window after discovery.
Okay. That's good.
And they also initiated direct communication with affected customers via email notifications.
So they told people directly?
Yes. Kering maintains that this direct notification fulfills their legal obligations. Public disclosures, they argue, are only typically required under GDPR when there's a confirmed high risk to the rights and freedoms of the data subjects.
Interesting distinction.
It is. And this whole incident, stepping back, it really highlights broader vulnerabilities within the luxury retail sector's digital infrastructure.
How so?
Well, these high-end brands, they rely so heavily on sophisticated CRM systems and digital marketing platforms, right? Which, ironically, makes them incredibly attractive targets for criminals who want access to those wealthy customer databases.
Yeah, the data itself is valuable.
Extremely. Mm. And it also really underscores the growing importance of supply chain security. Because this breach, as we discussed, seems to have exploited those third-party integrations. That's a common and increasingly effective attack vector that affects businesses everywhere, not just luxury.
That third-party risk is huge. So this brings us squarely back to you, the customer listening right now. What we've discussed today about these unprecedented risks, especially for those high-spending customers identified in the breach, it really hits home.
It does.
With your full name, address, phone number, email, and now potentially even your spending profile out there. You're not just some random target anymore, are you?
No, absolutely not. You become a highly valuable, specifically profiled target.
So what kind of highly targeted fraud attempts are now possible with this level of detailed data floating around?
It's genuinely worrying. We're talking about the potential for incredibly precise fraud. For example, spear phishing campaigns.
Okay, so not just generic phishing?
No, these are emails so convincing they look like they're really from Gucci or Balenciaga or maybe even your bank, specifically designed using your purchase history to trick you.
Wow. Personalized scams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's also the increased risk of SIM swapping attacks. That's where criminals try to take control of your mobile phone account.
To intercept security codes and things?
Precisely. To bypass things like two-factor authentication that you might be relying on. And for those identified high spenders, we could unfortunately see whaling attacks.
Whaling? Like hunting big fish?
Kind of, yeah. These are sophisticated assaults specifically designed to target wealthy individuals, people with significant financial resources.
Okay.
And of course, the ever-present background threat of general identity theft, using your details to open new accounts, make unauthorized purchases in your name, all that stuff.
So given all of this, it sounds quite serious. What does this all mean for you listening? What's your immediate advice if you've shopped with any of Kering's brands, Gucci, Balenciaga, Alexander McQueen, even if you haven't heard from them directly?
Yeah, our advice is really clear on this. If you have shopped at any of those brands, you should take immediate protective action. Don't wait for an email that might or might not come.
Okay, what's step one?
First, enable multi-factor authentication MFA on all your important online accounts. Especially your email and any financial services. It's just an extra layer of defense, but it makes a huge difference.
MFA everywhere.
Got it.
What else?
Second, create unique, complex passwords for every single online account. Please don't reuse passwords. And use a password manager to create and store them securely. It's almost impossible otherwise.
Well, it's a password manager. Crucial. Okay.
Third, monitor your credit reports closely. You can get free reports annually. Check them. And consider setting up fraud alerts with the major credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion.
Fraud alerts. Good idea.
And finally, take a look at and update your account recovery settings for your email, for your main e-commerce profiles. Make sure those are secure and up to date. These are really your first essential lines of defense.
That's a fantastic, very actionable plan. And it really highlights that this isn't just a one-time fix, right? It requires ongoing vigilance.
Absolutely.
So what else should listeners keep an eye out for, maybe in the longer term?
Well, generally, always be skeptical, especially of any unsolicited communications, emails, texts, calls, particularly those claiming some urgent action is needed or offering deals that seem too good to be true.
Trust your gut if it feels off.
Exactly. If you get a message that seems suspicious, don't click any links or call numbers in the message. Verify it directly. Go to the organization's official website or use a known customer service number to contact them.
Verify independently. Makes sense.
Also, regularly review your bank and credit card statements. Look for any charges you don't recognize, even small ones, as sometimes thieves test cards with tiny amounts first.
Check those statements carefully.
And for an extra layer of protection, especially if you're concerned, you might consider placing security freezes on your credit reports. This prevents anyone, including you sometimes, from opening new credit accounts in your name without additional verification steps.
A credit freeze. Okay, that's a stronger measure.
It is, but it can be very effective.
Okay, and just to quickly clarify a couple of common questions we've been hearing. First, to reiterate, your actual credit card information, your bank account details, that stuff was not stolen in this specific Kering breach, correct?
Correct. That's the information Kering has confirmed was secured by PCI DSS standards, an important distinction.
Definitely. And second, while Kering is, you know, fulfilling its regulatory obligations by notifying people, they have not, as far as we know, announced any free credit monitoring services for affected customers, right?
That's right. As of now, there's been no announcement of Kering providing those services. So if you want credit monitoring or fraud protection, you'll likely need to arrange that independently yourself.
Okay, so the onus is on the individual customer to take those steps. This whole incident really reinforces that in today's digital world, personal cybersecurity isn't really optional anymore, is it?
Not at all. It has to be part of our daily routine, unfortunately.
So this deep dive into the Curing breach, it's revealed the pretty staggering scale, the sophistication of groups like Shiny Hunters, and just the critical importance of personal cybersecurity, especially in this increasingly digital luxury world. It feels like a real wake-up call.
It really does.
Even the most exclusive high-end brands aren't immune.
Indeed. And this incident clearly demonstrates that as our digital identities become ever more entwined with our spending habits, our personal details, the responsibility of these luxury brands, and frankly, any company collecting this data, their responsibility in safeguarding not just our transactions, but our entire digital peace of mind becomes, well, paramount. It really raises a compelling question, doesn't it?
Which is
How much should we as consumers really demand from these companies to protect not just our purchases, but our very sense of security in this deeply interconnected world? What's the ultimate responsibility here?